Well, thanks for coming tonight to the gospel meeting. Let's start with number 25. Hymn number 25, if someone could start it, please. To say at the beginning, before we pray, that the gate to heaven is still open, but I can't guarantee for how long. And if you haven't come in the gate, you're not ready to go to heaven when the Lord Jesus comes. But when you leave this world, this message is for you tonight. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we just give thanks that we can talk about the Lord Jesus, thy eternal Son, who came from heaven, came to this earth and lived here as a man, but who also died here on a cross. We thank thee for each person in the room who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We pray for anyone that's here tonight who has not done so yet. We pray that tonight they may accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior too. So we ask for help, for direction, thy work of thy Holy Spirit that we've so enjoyed this weekend. We just ask now for power, strength, clearness of mind. And we too would pray that each person may pay close attention. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Three weeks ago, I was privileged to be at another Bible conference in Michigan, near to where I live. And there was a man who took it from Iowa, Bernie Breck. I don't know if you know him, but he's a dear brother. And he sends me emails that are, or texts that are very encouraging all the time. So thankful for that. But he had the privilege of speaking in the gospel meeting, and I so enjoyed the stories that he told. I like stories. And he told, because he has a wrecking yard and a tow truck, he often goes to the scene of accidents. And so he told us about three accidents that he had just been at. And they were horrific, some of them. And then he told us about another accident that had happened to a young man that had worked all day and had gone home and had had supper and then went out on his motorbike for a little trip. Well, he had an accident on this trip. And he was badly hurt. They rushed him to the hospital. And this young man was being wheeled into the operating room. And the last thing he heard was the nurse and the doctor talking. And the nurse said, "What are we going to do with his knee?" The doctor said, "Let's keep him alive first." And that man said that it was him. It was Bernie. And he said the Lord hadn't waited and kept him alive, that he was going to go to hell. Because he didn't know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And you know, one of the things, this is the first one, one of the things that I learned at this conference was that we don't need to pray for opportunities that are all around us. But we need to be in the right state of soul so that we can speak for the Lord in the right way, at the right time, and say the right things to lead souls to Christ. It's a privilege to do so. It's a joy. Last year, just before the conference here, I got a text from one of my customers. He had been interested in the gospel before, when we worked for him, about 3 years before. But he said, his wife said, "Look, you know, I've read some stuff on the internet about you Christians, and, you know, well, I'm not interested in the gospel." I said, "Well, you know my number. Text me if you want to know more." So I got a text, and it said, "The world's crazy. I want to talk. I want to come over. I want to spend time talking about what you told me about before." You know, is there somebody here tonight and you're terrified of what's going on in the world? You should be. But more importantly, what about your soul? When you leave this world, where are you going? Are you going to hell? And you know it? Perhaps you've never heard this before, that you're a lost and guilty sinner before God. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you've heard it 100 times. Maybe you've heard it 1,000 times. How many times does God have to speak in faithfulness to your soul? How many times? And this may be your last opportunity to go through that gate that we sang about. Be in time. Do you know how many people I've told that story that Bernie told at the conference? I don't know. More than a few. And that's why I go to gospel meetings, to be encouraged, to hear about my Lord that loved me enough to die for me. No one else has ever done that for me, but the Lord did. Can you say the Lord Jesus died on the cross for me? If you can't say that, you need to be able to. You need to come to the Lord Jesus just as you are. We had that this afternoon. Just as I am. Just as I am. Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Can you say, O Lamb of God, I come? Thankfully, when we sang today, I could say, I came. The Lord waited for me, a stubborn, impudent sinner, for a long time until I was saved. But I came. Thank God. Can you say that? I've come to the Lord Jesus. He's mine. He's my Savior. What a privilege to say, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that? When I was a kid, I remember we went to the license bureau because my dad bought a car. And we went up in the line, waited for our new license. And we were coming back out to our car with the new license. My dad turned to me and he said, look at the license number. It was ETU-220. And as a kid, I was like, 220? He goes, yeah, 220. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you know, I wasn't saved. I didn't know what he was talking about and why he liked that verse. But he liked it because it was personal to him. That's why. And tonight, if you don't love that verse, it's because it's not personal to you. You can't say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I hope that by the end of this meeting, nobody is going to say, I don't like 220. That each person will be trusting in the Lord Jesus. So listen well in the gospel meetings that you go to, and then as opportunities come across your way and you're in the right state of soul, by the grace of God, you can tell other people what you heard. It's a privilege to tell other people. You know that man that came to my house? For 5 hours, he sat there and he said, no, 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 I don't want to come. He was polite, but his body language was like this. And is there somebody here tonight and you're saying to God, no? How dare you say to God, no? We heard today how many stars there are in our galaxy. We heard how many galaxies there may be. And there may be more. And how God cares about earth. And how God cares about you. And you say, I don't care. When he cares about you enough to send his son to die a death of shame and suffering and agony for you and to pay for your sins, Well, I want to turn to John chapter 3. You know, we've had a lot at this conference about the Holy Spirit. We saw wonderful truth presented in the book of John about the Holy Spirit. Oh, I so enjoyed that. I'm going to tell you a little experience that I had before I came to this conference. I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about the Lord. I thought that God wanted me to talk about the Lord Jesus being lifted up. How many times have we talked about that this conference? And you know, I want to talk about it again. I want to talk about the Lord Jesus being lifted up for you. And he was lifted up for me. What a privilege for us individually to know that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for me. And I hope each one of us has that personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So let's read a little bit in John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let's go down a little bit to verse 14. Or let's read verse 13, because this is a miracle verse. The omnipresence of the Lord Jesus being in heaven and on earth at the same time. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's turn on our Bibles, if you have one, back to the book of Numbers. We're going to read the story of this serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. Before we read the story in Numbers 21, I just want to say that I've had the privilege in the last few months of reading the first five books of Moses. It's been an impressive read for me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. But what has become very clear to me is what a servant of God Moses really was. You know, he's referred to as the man of God. He's referred to as the servant of God. He's referred to as the servant of the Lord. Those are all wonderful expressions. And as brothers in Christ, may we be known as a man of God, as a servant of God, as a servant of the Lord. Moses was. He put up with so much. He was so patient. The most patient man in all the earth. Let's read from verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord, that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now let's think about this for a minute. In the meeting for the children, there was a little bit about rattlesnakes, right? And the venom. And getting bit. None of us wants to be bit by a poisonous snake. The kids in this story were no different than you guys. They didn't want the fiery serpents either. But they were there because of their sin. And you know what? Some of those people were bitten. And they cried to Moses, who they had murmured against. And Moses went to the Lord for them. He interceded for them. And God said to Moses, take this pole, make a serpent, put it on. And anyone who looks at that serpent on the pole will live. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Let's say you got bit by a snake. And anyone that did died. And then you heard that there was a pole and a serpent on the pole. And if you looked, then you'd be healed. You'd be safe. You wouldn't die. Now, is there somebody here tonight that says, oh, no, that's not for me. Oh, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to take my chances. I might get better. Or are you going to open the tent door and look up at the pole and say, thank you? Tonight we have the story of the Lord Jesus lifted up on the cross of Calvary for you. And what are you going to say? No, not for me. Really? When the Lord loved you enough to die on the cross, when God provided a way for your sins to be forgiven, and you say, no, I won't open my tent. I'll take my chances. Yeah, I got bit by a snake. I'm a sinner, but no, I'm not sure that'll work. You say, they're crazy. Is there somebody here tonight and you're saying, no, not for me? You boys in the back, pay attention. It's for you. And don't misunderstand. When I was a boy, I sat in the back and I didn't pay attention. I'm no better. I needed Christ as much as everybody in this room. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Bible conferences. There were 10 kids the same age as me, 10 boys in the assembly that I went to. Do you know that some of the kids that I grew up with, I don't even know if they're saved today. I don't know where they are. There's a couple that are living for the Lord. Most of the rest of them are living for themselves in this world. Where are we? Why are we here? Did we gain something from this conference? Do we love the Lord Jesus more? Are we more devoted to Him? Are we committed to telling others what we heard? The grace of God that came into our poor hearts? Are we willing to tell other people? I trust so. I trust so. Why did you come to this conference? Why did you come? Did you have to come? Did your parents make you come? My parents took me to the conference. I sat up there. I wasn't saved. Shame on me. Shame on you if you're not saved and you're in a Christian home. God has given you such a tremendous privilege. I remember Tom Roach came to our meeting and he said, the Lord put him in a Christian home because he was so bad, the Lord wanted him to get saved. I never forgot that. Why did the Lord put you in a Christian home? Why have you heard all these things? Why did you get to come here this weekend? It's because God loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to grow if you're a believer already. He wants you to be encouraged and go on for him. But if you're not saved, he wants you to be saved tonight. You know, that man told us those stories about those people that never got home. He did tell us about one man, though, that did get home after his accident. He went off the highway and hit a telephone pole. And the front end of his car was so badly wrapped around the pole that the front tire was in the front seat, the passenger seat of the car. And there's a little hole like this for his head. And the man was standing talking to a policeman at the side of the road when this man got there with his wrecking truck, his tow truck. And he said to the man, he said, how come you're alive? And he said, you know, people are interested in talking about their soul salvation when they just about died. What does God need to allow to happen in your life so that you'll pay attention, so that you'll come? If you haven't come, come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Well, those who looked were healed. And tonight, just look to the Lord Jesus. Look to the Savior, the one who died on the cross for sinners. Let's turn back to the Gospel of John. It's really impressive to me that the first person who ever heard John 3:16 was Nicodemus. We only read of Nicodemus in the book of John. We read about him three times. We read about him in chapter 3. We read about him in chapter 7 when he defended a little bit the Lord Jesus in broad daylight before the other religious leaders of the day. And then we read about him in the 19th chapter that we have already had in this conference. Nicodemus means, gives the thought of victorious or perhaps over the people. And in years gone by, it was very important what you named your children, what their names meant. A conqueror of the people, it could be translated as. No doubt, he grew up in a wealthy family. He had a good education. It says here, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, one who prided himself in being better. I'm pretty good. I know the law, and I keep it. And I keep it better than other people. He came to the Lord Jesus by night because he didn't want anyone to see. That's why he came at night. You know why people do stuff bad at night? Because they think they're getting away with it. Why do people steal cars at night? Why do they rob buildings at night? They think they can get away with it. No one will find out. But God sees everything. My son Howard is an insurance guy. On a Monday morning, a guy comes walking into his office and he says, oh, had a hard weekend. My house burned down. Howard's like, man, if my house burned down, I would have been saying, oh, my house burned down. It was terrible. So on. So Howard got together the claim and put it into the company. And 3 days later, the company called and said, Howard, we won't be honoring that insurance claim that you submitted because we got some footage from the neighbor's video camera of the man carrying a can of gas into his house. So, made sense to Howard. The guy wasn't beside himself. Why? Because he tried to burn his own he burned his own house down, tried to get the insurance money. Who saw that? You say, oh, it was on the video camera. Yeah, but what did God see? And what does God see in you? He knows everything about you. He knows every one of your sins. You're guilty before him. And if you're not saved, guess what? You're doomed. You need the Lord Jesus as your Savior, boys, girls. You need him tonight. Young people, don't wait. Come now, just the way you are. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, I can kind of picture Nicodemus, kind of, wonder what that means. You know, those of us that have had the privilege to come to meetings like this our whole life, we know and measure what this means. But Nicodemus, this was new to him. But we're going to see that he found out what it meant. Thank you, Brother Bruce. Let's turn over to John chapter 8. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Now we'll go over to chapter 12. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now we're going to read about in chapter 19. John chapter 19. Verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Many years ago, I had the privilege of being in a gospel meeting when our brother Michel Payette spoke. We talked a little bit about the limitations of the English language. And Brother Michel said, in the French Bible, it says, It is accomplished. In our English Bible, it says it is finished. Accomplished. The Lord Jesus died on the cross. What does it mean, accomplished, finished? That work that God gave him to do, to die on the cross so that sinners like me could be forgiven, so that he could be my substitute. We had that this weekend. So he could take my punishment that I deserved. And believe me, the mountain of my sins is huge. He paid for every one of them when he died on the cross for me. Can you say that? The Lord Jesus paid for every one of yours? I trust you can. If you can't accept the Lord Jesus as your substitute, as your Savior tonight, we're going to read a little more. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Now, I want to do something here tonight. I want you to draw a picture in your brain, in your mind, of that scene of the Lord Jesus hanging there in death. And then that soldier taking that spear and plunging it into his side, and the blood coming down that God saw and accepted that his son could be the sacrifice for your sins. Can you see it in your mind? Can you see the Lord Jesus hanging there? Can you see that soldier putting that spear and the blood coming down? That blood that cleanses us from all sin. How is it with you? Do you love the blood of Christ? Can you say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, who at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Well, our brother suggested that we pick up some things at this conference. Three is too little. It was way more than three for me. This was one of them. You know, I love this story of Nicodemus. But what happened in this story? Nicodemus looked up, and there was the Lord Jesus lifted up. He'd heard those words about the Lord Jesus being lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I say to everyone here tonight, have you looked up? Have you seen the Lord Jesus dying there for you? Can you say the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? What a comfort. What a joy to be able to then tell others. You know, we never read of Nicodemus again. This is the third time we read of him in this book. I don't know what happened to him. But he didn't come at night this time. He took the Lord Jesus down with Joseph. All the religious leaders could see what he was doing, could see his affection for the Lord Jesus. One more thing. I got corrected when I spoke on this once. The person said, well, you know, in verse 39, it says about 100 pounds weight. And I said 100 pounds, like 10 pounds of potatoes, if you lined them all up on here. Two big bags of Ernie's pig feed. That's heavy. I have a hard time carrying one of them, let alone two. But this person came to me and he said, well, you know, it was really only about 75 pounds. I said, really? 75 pounds? That's a lot. This man was willing to bring 75 pounds of spices to anoint the body of the Lord, or to bring for the burial of the body of the Lord Jesus, because he loved the Lord Jesus enough to spend enough money to buy 75 pounds of spices. This is impressive to me. Now, here's the question. What about you? And what about me? Do I love him enough to buy 75 pounds of spices? Do I love him enough to tell 75 people this year about the Lord Jesus? Just think how full this room would be if each one of us led one person to the Lord Jesus this year. Brethren, fellow Christians, we need courage, but we need a right state of soul. But this man, and I so enjoyed, he looked up and he saw the one that was lifted up for himself. We all need to do that sometime to be saved. We need to see the Lord Jesus hanging there in death for me, shedding his precious blood for me. Come to the Lord Jesus now. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we just ask for the working of thy Holy Spirit, that there may be salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus, by simple faith in that finished work, that accomplished work tonight in this room. We pray that thou wilt work mightily, that there may be somebody tonight that can say, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you very much for dying for me, for dying for each person who has put their trust in thee. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.